I love making lists. I love making lists. I find great satisfaction in being able to cross things off my list. And on occasion, I have even been known when my to-do list is very, very long and I haven't gotten much accomplished yet. I have been known to add a few things to the bottom of the list that I actually already did, just so that I can cross them off. Am I the only one who does that? I need that kind of motivation, especially when that list is really long. I need to see I have accomplished a few things, and that helps me get on with the rest of the list. So I love these lists, I love crossing things off, and so I love the days when I've got a to-do list and I just start crossing things off left and right. Boom, boom, boom. I love the feeling of organization and efficiency and accomplishment. And there's nothing like a finished to-do list at the end of the night to help me sleep a little more soundly. So I love busy, productive days where I cross lots of things off the list. But there are those days. There are those days when nothing gets crossed off the list. Though I work from practically sunup to sundown, my to-do list is very undone because of all of the interruptions that happen along the way. Raise your hand if you have interruptions in your life. Okay, yeah, I see some people raising two hands. I like that. Yes. So, Wednesday was one of those days for me. It started out as an awesome day because I woke up earlier than I normally do, and I had my morning constitutional around the block, and I'd come back, and I'd eaten breakfast, and I came into the office a little earlier than I had anticipated, and I had my to-do list ready to go, all of the things I wanted to accomplish Wednesday morning before the craziness of what you guys do here at Second Pres Wednesday afternoon sort of hit me. So I had all these things that I really wanted to do, and I was so excited. I was pumped because I felt prepared and ready to face the day. And then an interruption happened. And that interruption was God's pantry, which opened at 10 a.m. And suddenly there were 150 people in the parking lot and downstairs waiting to come through our doors, looking for food and looking for our help. So for various reasons, we were a little understaffed that day. And though I had no idea what I was getting myself into, Lynn gave me a good shove and helped me jump right into helping down in the pantry. She was that desperate. She was ready to throw me in for the first time. So I was introducing myself as I met each person as they took their turn and chatted with them or listened to them, whichever they needed at the time. And so in the midst of this interruption to my day and my schedule, I had my first significant interaction with a homeless person. He was around my age and dressed pretty decently. I probably wouldn't have guessed that he was homeless, except that's what he had filled out on his form. Where it asked for your address, it said homeless. And he smiled uncertainly, but hopefully at me, as I explained to him how the food pantry worked. And as I watched him, he was unassuming and a little awkward, kind of looking through the shelves of food downstairs. And you could just see his brain kind of working away, judging what items would work best in his situation, being homeless. And so as I tried to count up his points to make sure that he had gotten as much food as he could, I kind of tied up the bag and handed it to him, and he smiled gratefully, and he left. going, God only knows where. And so me, standing there, surrounded by people waiting in chairs and watching them take their turns, carefully choosing from the shelves what they would take home with them, hours passed. Hours passed. And all the thoughts of all the things that I had put on my to-do list that day went right out the window. Because sometimes God is in the interruptions. All those interruptions that maybe frustrate us in the course of our day because they mess up our timelines and our schedules and our to-do lists, more often than not, God is in the interruptions. God's power interrupts and shows up in the most unexpected places, turning the world upside down, one person at a time. And I guess you could say this week, it was my turn to be turned upside down. When the news of Tabitha's death began to spread throughout Joppa, they were suddenly turned upside down. Tabitha is a remarkable woman from the New Testament. She was a pillar of the community, and she was actually identified as the only female disciple in the New Testament. Luke tells us in Acts that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. She has the gift of sewing and making clothes, a gift she often shared with the widows in town, the most vulnerable in society who had been left to fend for themselves without any help. No help except from Tabitha, who was always on their side. And then one day, this very remarkable woman gets sick and dies. And now the most vulnerable in their world have no one. This was quite an interruption in the life of the town of Joppa. And it was quite an interruption of the lives of all those widows who counted on her. Tabitha has died, and her life-giving work has died with her. So the widows that she served so faithfully, they take her lifeless body to the upper room. Now, back in those days, not everybody had an upper room. So it's actually a pretty good guess that Tabitha was self-sufficient, financially speaking. She was possibly even well-to-do, which is a little unusual for women in those days. And yet the people who mourned her were the poorest of the poor. She was mourned by those whom she risked her own economic status and social standing in order to provide for. Tabitha was mourned by the powerless and the less privileged. You might even say that Tabitha somehow knew that the flip side of having power is the responsibility to care for those who are powerless. Now, Luke doesn't tell us why the group of widows who had gathered around Tabitha's body called for Peter, one of the disciples who's in this nearby town of Lydda. Were they looking for someone to do her funeral? Was she a significant enough person in the community of the church that they felt like somebody official should be notified that she had passed? Could they possibly have even fathomed that maybe Peter could raise her from the dead? We don't know. It doesn't tell us, so we don't know. But we have faith that God is in the interruptions. And we know that God often and unexpectedly uses his power to benefit the powerless. And so Peter comes and he kneels and he prays and he puts out his hand and says, "Tabitha, get up." And she gets up. Peter restores life to Tabitha's body, and by doing so, restores life to a whole community of people. God's power shows up in the interruptions. When Jesus Christ was born, heaven swooped down and invaded earth. And God's kingdom broke out in the midst of this earthly kingdom. And when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, death was defeated. And God's kingdom was established here on earth. But it's not complete just yet. That comes later when Jesus comes again. But until that time, when Christ returns, we get a glimpse. Every once in a while, we get a glimpse, a little peek at what God's kingdom is like. And God's kingdom does not look like our to-do lists and our schedules and our plans. God's kingdom looks like these unexpected moments when God's power breaks through into our lives and turns our world upside down. Because God has established his kingdom here among us, death is changed. Tabitha can be raised again. And we know that death does not have the final say because we have victory over death. And in that same vein as having victory over death, our life here on earth can never be the same. Because in God's kingdom, there is a new kind of power at work. And in this new kind of power, even the very name of Jesus Christ has power, the power over death itself. And in this new kind of power, traditional power structures, which we have created, are broken down and they're redefined. Now the last shall be first. And the first shall be last. Now, to find your life, you gotta lose it. And now, a little child will lead us. The good news of the gospel says to our world, our broken world, that there is hope. There is something better which is possible. There is someone who loves you just the way you are. There is a reason for the interruptions in your plans, because that is God's kingdom breaking through into your world in unexpected ways. You may not always see it, you may not always understand it, but it's always there, just waiting for you to notice it. But if you're like me, you get a little busy with your to-do lists and your plans and your agendas, and we don't always have the eyes to see what God is doing in our lives. So I'm convinced every once in a while, God has to turn things upside down in order to get our attention, in order to open the eyes of our hearts so that we might see that the kingdom is happening all around us. The world will never be a better place as long as the Tabithas are few. Do you know what I mean? The world will never be a better place as long as the Tabithas are few. So your mission this week, should you choose to accept it, is to think about how you can be a Tabitha this week. In the midst of the interruptions to your to-do lists and your plans and your schedules, how can you be an instrument of God's power? As God's power works in you and overflows from you onto those who are powerless in your life. Just once this week, just once, let go of the to-do list and the schedule and the plan you set for yourself at the beginning of the day. And look for God when the interruption comes, even when it turns your world upside down. I told you last week that I think you probably have more power than you think you do. And the flip side of that power is that you also have the responsibility, somehow in some way, to help the powerless. The powerless who one writer I read this week characterized as the widows, the orphans, the hungry, the depressed, the oppressed, the marginalized, and the penalized. I am sure that God will provide this kind of opportunity for you at some point in the next week. And I pray that when the interruption comes, that instead of being frustrated and grumpy because your beautiful plan has gone out the window, like I so often do, I pray that you would have the eyes and the heart to look for God in the interruption. And like Tabitha, take a little risk in his name. After all, the world will never be a better place as long as the Tabithas are few. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.